Welcome to Eco Living in Action, a half-hour sustainable living show with Maureen Howard. Maureen chats with a different guest each week about their sustainability activities and initiatives, from advice on tiny houses to rooftop gardens to wildlife-friendly farming practices. Maureen's guests are passionate individuals who are making a difference. Eco Living in Action, proudly supported by Taste Nature.
And welcome to Eco Living in Action. I'm Maureen Howard, host of this show. Now, I'm going to give a few little notices here. I see they're sitting in front of me. So before we begin, what is your favourite Otago Access Radio Dunedin show or podcast? Because we would love you to cast your vote for OAR FM's Listener's Choice Award. And if you do so, you can enter the draw for a $50 gift voucher. So look for the link on OAR FM's Dunedin Facebook page and on our website at oar.org.nz. You can also get your voting form from the station. That's at Dunedin Community House right here on Lower Moray Place, or you can give us a call at 471-6161. Now, don't take too long to do it because entries close at 5 o'clock on Sunday, November the 11th. But today I'm in the studio and I'm here to talk to Alex Gorey. Now, Alex is the kind of guy that we really do need more of in this world. He's a trained mechanical engineer and he is also passionate about preserving our natural world. He works in the Valley Community Workspace as part of Control Focus. And this is a business that, among a number of things, it converts cars to electric and it also puts photovoltaic panels on your house. In particular, Alex Penchant is bicycles, and he's helping people to get cycling and to stay on their bikes so that we can create a critical mass. And that's what this show is about, because it's all about the things that we can do to get a critical mass happening here in Dunedin. And I'll be sharing some of the things that Alex Gorey is involved with that will help us get us there. Now, we'll be hearing about our two volunteer-driven bike fix-it workshops that are here in Dunedin, the critical monthly critical mass that's four bicycles as well as other human-powered things to ride on, and also the Malcolm Initiative that is rescuing bikes from rusting in the landfill. So, welcome to the show, Alex.
Thanks for having me, Maureen.
Yeah, it's great to have you on. I haven't had you on, but you're doing so many things that
yeah, pretty busy
shame
these
on
days.
Me. Shame on me not having you on yet. So, look, Alex. So you're quite busy, aren't you? But it's very lucky because it seems to me that almost everything you do is focused on great things.
Oh, yeah, that's quite a compliment. Yeah, cheers. A lot of the stuff that I'm doing in my spare time and as work is sort of focused around community engagement or low carbon steps. So, yeah.
Yeah. So is it, you know, like obviously cycling is something that you're in particular focused on because you do, you're involved with both workshops, aren't you?
Yeah, that's right. The Crooked Spoke in Moray Place and Valley Community Workspace in Northeast Valley.
Yeah.
And I've just been volunteering probably on and off for the last 2 or 3 years at the Valley Workspace and just this year at Crooked Spoke.
Right.
Just helping people get back on their bikes and understand a bit more about how to repair their own bikes and stuff.
Right. Yeah. So have you been a sort of a keen cyclist all your life, or are you a recent passionate?
Yeah, probably for transport. I've never owned a car for the last 10 years. It has been my way of getting around to school and university and work, etc. Definitely always been interested in cycling.
Yeah, and you'll probably be a much richer man too because it does save a lot of money, doesn't it?
Yeah. No gas costs for a bike, which is quite nice.
So tell me, like, you know, I'm a keen cyclist too, but what do you love about cycling?
There's the the adrenaline that you get from, like, I'm working over in Waitati a lot of the time at the moment, so cycling over the hill and watching the sunrise, seeing the seasons change, and just all the endorphins and stuff that you get from exercise at a physical level are pretty cool. And the sense of community that you get with other cyclists, because you know that they're enjoying their commute. And I don't know, I see a lot of drivers in cars waiting in traffic, just sort of blank-faced, not really enjoying it. And I often, quite often, have a grin on my face when I'm riding around, and I don't care if it looks stupid. It's quite good, eh?
It is,
yeah,
true, it's
holistically,
true.
It's just, yeah, it's something I really enjoy.
Yeah. Because often when I have that little thought, oh, I'm so happy, it's often when I'm on a bicycle.
Yeah.
I just, and, you know, I'll just suddenly have that thought, you know?
Yeah.
It's great, yeah. Anyway, you know, if people haven't got on their bicycle yet, hopefully that
Do it. It's definitely worth it. You enjoy it.
And, you know, the council and the Transport New Zealand have, you know, have been making steps anyway to make it easier for people to get started.
They have,
yeah. So, I first wanted to talk about the concept of critical mass, and, you know, if people haven't heard of it, well, you know, we've all heard of, like, when something gains a critical mass, but as a term, this has gained quite a bit of importance because there is the critical mass movement, isn't there?
Mm.
Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Yeah, it started in San Francisco in the early 90s and just was a monthly ride last Friday of every month. A group is advertised to meet at a certain time in a certain location and just bike around the streets and sort of reclaim them for cyclists a bit and just assert cyclists as road users for other people on the road. And I'm not sure how it went from just in San Francisco to, like, the international thing, but it's quite big over in Europe. Mm-hmm. And I know it had occurred in Dunedin sometime in the last decade, but I thought we'd benefit from having another round of critical mass. So
yeah,
I think January was the first one that we ran this year, just myself and a couple of friends. And on the bigger rides, we get sort of between 20 and 25 people. And we've had a couple of just myself and one of the other organisers on real grim, like, winter Friday evenings. But that's all good. We're out there.
Yeah. No, that's good because, you have to make sure you turn up in case.
Yeah.
But I did go on some years ago, and
Nice.
And we even had, like, a movie night one time, and everybody came on their bicycles. It was really fun. It was an outdoor movie night.
Yeah, awesome.
So there is potential, particularly over the summer months.
Yeah. I like the sound of that.
Cool. So that's usually the last Friday of the month.
Last Friday of the month.
And does it always start from a particular place?
Yeah, just on the museum reserve outside Otago Museum. Over winter, we've been starting them at 5:15, but we might stretch that out a bit later as the days are getting longer. It's kind of nice to just make the most of that twilight time as well.
And how can they find out about it?
It's advertised on Facebook, and there are posters up usually before, I think the posters are just always up now.
Right.
Cool.
Anyway, so it's good to, and it's an opportunity, and it doesn't just have to be for cyclists.
No, any sort of human-powered vehicle is welcome. We've had scooters and roller skaters a couple of times.
Yeah.
So that's cool. Trikes, we're not going to segregate based on how many wheels you've got. If you've got a unicycle and you want to come along, go for it. Yeah, right. Just anything that's not a car is definitely welcome.
Yeah.
Cool.
And it's not anti-car, is it really?
No. I'd like to think that the Dunedin branch of Critical Mass has sort of got a positive focus, and it's a celebration of cycling rather than a dig at any other road users. And we just want to create a space that cyclists feel safe, because when you're in a group of between 10 and 20 people, you just feel a lot more comfortable and confident on the road.
So it might be a good opportunity for people who are maybe currently a little bit cautious, this could be a good time to get on your bike, dust it off.
And it's a very, very leisurely ride. Nothing too crazy.
Sounds good. Okay, so that's one way in which you are supporting cyclists. So, and we talked about the workspaces. So tell me about them and why they are, what's special about them?
They're just really, really nice spaces to be. That's one of the reasons they're special to me. But fixing bikes is the bottom line, and teaching people how they can, well, just, yeah, upskilling people so they can fix their own bikes in the future as well. Everything there is, well, 90% of the stock that we've got is secondhand, like whether it's donated or just found bits and pieces. So there's a real sort of low waste ethos that we operate by.
Because we have a lot of bike shops in New Zealand.
There are a lot of bike shops. And I'd like to say that these DIY places don't take away from the local business as well. They're sort of filling a different niche. And a lot of the bikes that we're servicing are older bikes, like anywhere between the 70s and the 90s are our common stock. And it's more repair focused, and a lot of the parts probably aren't available new anymore. So just that we've got a massive stack of bits and pieces and odds and ends, is quite good for filling that niche. So it's not high-end stuff, but that makes it more accessible for more people, which is, getting more people on bikes.
And what I love is, you take your bike into the bike shop and someone else does it for you, but this is actually a learning opportunity, isn't it?
Yeah, we definitely sort of emphasise some form of engagement with your bike, so we're not just going to let you flounder, and we've got all the tools and stuff that you need to do it, like, safely and not damage any of the parts, but, it's more about learning the skills yourself, as well as getting the bike fixed and the end result.
And this also is part of an international movement, isn't it? You know, having these workshops around the world.
Yeah, quite a common thing. And I think all the major cities in Aotearoa have at least one of these workshops. So it's pretty cool that Dunedin has two at the moment, just considering its size. But I think it is a pretty common thing.
And they're in different days, so. Yeah. Now we've got the Crooked Spoke, and that's Wednesday and Friday. Is it 4 to 6, still 4 to...
Yeah, 4 to 6 on Wednesday, 4 to 8 on Friday.
Okay.
Yeah, but later on Friday. And at the Valley Community Workspace, it is Tuesday 3:30 to 6:30 in the afternoon, and Saturday 9:30 to 12:30 in the morning. Yeah.
Right, okay. So, and if you don't have a bike, is that an impediment?
No. If you're really lucky, if you don't have a bike, we've got one ready to go. But
which where is that at?
But you have to. It's sort of luck of the draw. If you don't have a bike and you're willing to do some work on a bike that needs a bit of work, then we can definitely sort you out and get you up and riding after a few sessions.
So it's about making it's cycling accessible to everybody.
Yes,
really,
that's the one.
Like it. Okay. And you said about low waste now, so as much as possible you're trying to get, I guess it's keeping things out of the landfill, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true. And the majority of bike components are metal, so we're able to just, when we fill up the metal scrap bin with anything that really can't be used, is too damaged or is just incompatible, that just goes to Everett's and gets melted down and reused, which is quite cool. But everything will get repurposed until it really can't get repurposed anymore. And I quite like that ethos, just, reusing stuff.
Okay. And because there I don't know if it's through Crooked Spoke or through the Valley Community Workspace, but you have got a special arrangement with the Malcolm Trust, is that right?
I'll just say that is just through Malcolm Trust, where we've gone quite a few times this year to the transfer station out in Green Island and just picked up a trailer load of bikes that are otherwise just going to be sitting there. Some of them have been sitting there for a while and need quite a bit of love and attention, but I think as of the start of this week, it's 103 bikes that we've got out since April. So that's quite cool that those are just going back into the community.
So they've all found homes, or most of these bikes?
Most of them have. I don't have a figure on that, but we've got quite a high turnover rate of these bikes, which is pretty cool. Right. Yeah.
That's great. And all different sizes. I guess there's all a lot of kids ones.
There's quite a few kids ones, yeah. There's a large amount of adults ones as well. Mm-hmm. That's
great.
Pretty cool.
That's great. And then, you know, with the buses here having their bike racks on the front. If you can make it down the hill.
Yeah, exactly.
You can get up the hill too.
Yeah. No problems.
Our only problem is going to be when the front bike racks are always full. I can see
just
that
clogged with bikes.
I sort of hesitate before I advertise it now. it's all good. It's all about getting that critical mass, really.
Yeah, it really is.
I can't help but talk about, you know, the cycleways a little bit.
Yeah,
you know?
The contentious cycleways.
Yeah, I am using it. So I came back from my overseas travel to the cycleways, and I actually, because I'm someone who rides a lot, mm-hmm. and so I actually was really enjoyed the road the way it was before with the
with the
cycleway, and
change is hard.
Yeah. So I don't know if you, like, do you keep up with that, or is that something that you're involved with?
No, just other than riding, having to ride for commuting or through town reasonably frequently. No, I don't know what the overall plan is there. I don't want to make too harsh a judgment or give it too high a praise before it's all finished, because when all of it's connected up and it's sort of been in use for a while, then we'll sort of know how effective they've been. But I also think that possibly like cyclists like you and myself are not the target audience necessarily, because we're going to cycle no matter what. If there's no cycle lane, we'll probably still be out there on our bikes. And I've had conversations with a few people that normally wouldn't cycle, but now feel that because there's the segregated cycleway, hey, I'll get my bike out, I'd feel a bit safer. And so that's cool. It's another accessibility sort of thing. It's just widening the scope of people that are considering cycling as a means of transport. So, yeah, I think it's got good potential.
Yeah.
But we'll just, wait until it's all finished.
That's
before.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We'll be patient. I think everyone's got to be patient. And actually, there was one, it was actually in the autumn. One morning I was out on a Saturday morning, and there was like a little crowd of us. You know, we were all just cycling. There was about six of us, you know, going along, and I was going, actually getting quite crowded.
I've experienced that to and from work a few times as well.
So anyway, so that's a good sign. So, you know, thinking about critical mass, and I don't know if the organization Critical Mass has thought about this, but, you know, just how many people, imagine what we would have to get to, and I don't know if there's a magic number of what we would have to get to, things would start to shift. You know, at the moment, it feels like the roads are here for cars.
It definitely does. Mm. Although I have seen more and more bikes just on my commute back home from work, since the cycleways have been put in, which is quite cool. But definitely far away from any sort of critical mass of cyclists at the moment, I think. I don't know what sort of figure that would be. Yeah. Obviously, everyone on bikes would be the ultimate scenario, but...
And it's not impossible, because we have to just look at Europe and other countries.
Yeah, exactly.
Where you see
it can be done. Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. And it's not about any one vehicle being the dominant one, but it's about being multimodal. It's about sharing the road
or just having the infrastructure that accommodates for both equally. Over in Sydney, I think they've got like dedicated cycle lanes that are completely separate from other like heavy vehicle or like car and truck lanes, and just appreciating that both have different needs. and possibly splitting them up a bit more could be something to consider in the future for the council. I'm not sure.
Yeah. And then I guess in time also, I'm still thinking into the future, but everybody needs, even cyclists need how to learn how to cycle with each other.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
how
true.
To pass each other safely.
Yeah.
Anyway, but it's a transition, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, it is.
Right. But imagine Dunedin with a really multimodal, like I think we're going to have a lot more space because of fewer cars, fewer car parks.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, ideally the whole of George Street could be just pedestrian and cycle access or just non-motor vehicle access. I guess it makes it harder for service vehicles and stock trucks and stuff, but yeah. Something that an urban form that sort of encourages cycling and walking would be cool. Would be really cool. Less congested, as you said.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, is there anything coming up for you, or I don't know?
Just Crooked Spoke will be open tomorrow evening from 4 to 8, and the Valley Workspace on Saturday 9 to 12:30. If you want any repairs or anything, and Critical Mass will be departing from the Otago Museum on the last Friday of the month. I'm not sure what date that is. Sometime between 5:15 and 6 o'clock.
Right, and so for people who don't know where Crooked Spoke is, where is that?
It's up in Moray Place, just behind the old Fortune Theatre in the car park, next to the Kitchen Table Cafe and Bakery, I believe it's called. Yeah. Valley Workspace is 11 Allen Street, just after the big thermometer clock on North Road as you're leaving town, first left after that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Great. Okay. Oh, well, look, all the very best.
Thanks for having me, Maureen.
Yes, maybe next time I talk to you that we'll be talking about, yes, it's happened.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be great, eh?
But anyway, and thank you for listening. I'm Maureen Howard, and this is Eco Living in Action, and today I've been chatting with Alex Gorey, all about growing critical mass in terms of cycling and other human-powered forms of transportation. So here in Dunedin. So if you'd like to listen to the show again, you can download it as a podcast. You can do that. You can go to the Otago Access Radio website. It's oar.org.nz. And have a look on there. And we're also repeated on Mondays at 8:30 to 9 o'clock. So I'll see you again in a fortnight, or I'll talk to you again in a fortnight, I should say. Okay, thank you for listening.
Taste Nature is Dunedin's organic food shop and eatery at 131 High Street. Open 7 days, Taste Nature carries a wide range of certified organic primary produce and whole foods. The eatery features seasonal organic fare made with the freshest ingredients. Want fresh organic produce and grocery items delivered direct to your door? Contact Taste Nature to try one of their popular organic produce boxes or personalised grocery orders. Good food direct to you. Taste Nature, online at tastenature.co.nz.